Well, there's definitely no doubt that modern-day underwater photographers like Brian are bringing back stunning images from the oceans that most people would otherwise never really have a chance to see, and that's got to help in boosting our compassion for ocean life. But what did we do before there were underwater cameras? Helen caught up with science writer Philip Ball to find out about a Victorian artist who brought the wonders of the underwater world to the masses.
First of all, Philip, just who was Ernst Haeckel and what sort of things did he get up to?
Well, he was a zoologist or biologist, or call it what you will, someone who was interested in natural history at the end of the 19th century. He was a professor of zoology at the University of Jena in Germany. And there he was one of the key promoters of Darwinism in Germany. So he took Darwin's ideas and popularized them there, but he popularized them very much in his own way. It was a way that actually slightly baffled Charles Darwin. He had an idea, I suppose, that all life is guided by organizational forces and principles. So it was quite an unorthodox kind of Darwinism.
And that sort of idea of shapes and patterns and organisation, that spilled over into this book that he produced, Kunstformen der Natur, or Art Forms of Nature, which was this series of intricate drawings of living organisms, many of them from the sea.
Yes, well, this was a series that Haeckel produced between 1899 and 1904, and he was an extraordinarily good draftsman, he did all the drawings himself. And some of them were of large objects, large creatures like fishes and birds and so forth, but a lot of them were microscopic creatures that he had found, looking through the microscope, he'd found in seawater. And they were organisms with sort of exotic and unfamiliar names, things called radiolarians and diatoms, coccolithophores, and dinoflagellates. And all of these, they're essentially single-celled organisms. Some are plants, some are kinds of plankton. Others are very primitive forms of animals called protozoa. And all of them build protective shells that have the most extraordinary shapes. And this was what excited Haeckel, because this seemed to lend some support for his idea that the world, that life really is permeated by these organizational forces that operate all the way from very primitive single-celled creatures all the way through to higher organisms. So he looked at countless examples of these shapes in the microscope and drew them in the most sort of elaborate way in this book, Art Forms in Nature. And the drawings that he made turned out to be very influential among some artists and designers at that time. They just found a huge amount of inspiration in these pictures.
Am I right that it's the Art Nouveau movement that sort of embraced a lot of these shapes and patterns that Haeckel came up with?
Yeah, well, they're very characteristic of what we now associate with Art Nouveau, and some of the artists from that movement were inspired to make designs of things like furniture that were based on some of the shapes of the radiolarians that Haeckel had drawn.
Was he a huge hit at the time? I mean, did lots of people go out and buy this book?
Yes, they did. Well, certainly artists did. And you can see why when you look at the book. I mean, it is stunning. It's stunning, but also very weird. I mean, these shapes that were found in the exoskeletons of these tiny creatures were like nothing we'd seen before in the living world. In fact, when some of these creatures were first observed in the early 19th century, when the ones called coccolithophores were first observed, people weren't sure whether what they were seeing were the products of living creatures or some kind of strange crystal, because they have this very sort of orderly pattern to them, but also extremely elaborate. They sort of seem to stand at this juncture between the living and the non-living worlds. Now, they are, you know, completely the product of living creatures, but they are, it also turns out that they are shaped by the same sorts of forces that can organize non-living systems, things like bubble rafts and foams. So they're very, very unusual. It just seemed that artists at the time were completely captivated that things like this could exist in the world at such a tiny scale.
And would you say that Haeckel's work continues to have a legacy today? Do people still look to his work for inspiration or for ideas, I suppose?
Well, yes, they do. I mean, I think certainly for inspiration, because, you know, whatever you make of Haeckel, he was quite a controversial character. The images that he's left us with, are still as beautiful as ever, as striking as ever. One has to say that occasionally you suspect that actually Haeckel was slightly embellishing them. Certainly the way he arranged his pages was very decorative, you know, so this wasn't a straight scientific record. He was clearly trying to do something artistic with this too, and sometimes he probably embellished the shapes that he saw to make them more sort of regular and orderly. But nevertheless, what his artworks did show us was that there does seem to exist at all levels in nature some kind of pattern and form and symmetry. And it's really that is inspiring in Haeckel. And it was really that inspired the first thorough study of pattern and form in nature, which was made in 1917 by a Scottish zoologist called Darcy Wentworth Thompson. And Darcy Thompson included a lot of Haeckel's illustrations in his great book, which was called On Growth and Form.
Philip Ball there talking to Helen about the amazing artwork of Ernst Haeckel. And if you want to find out more, Philip's written a book all about patterns in nature. You can find a link to that and some of Haeckel's pictures on our webpage. That's thenakedscientist.com/oceans.
Are there really plenty more fish in the sea? Find out with Naked Oceans on the web at nakedscientist.com/oceans.